Welcome back into the Mental Game, where this week's guest is dancer Dexter Carr.
I say this all the time. I felt lonely and I was around so many people. Like, I was literally surrounded by a cast every single day. We saw each other every day, whether you wanted to or not. And I felt lonely.
And in this episode, Dexter talks about what it's like to live his biggest dreams at the top of the dancing world. But it all got started when he was just 16 years old, getting booked for his first ever music video with Chris Brown. He talks about the ups and downs and his own mental health journey, moving to New York City at 17 and then out to LA, where he is now one of the biggest choreographers in the world. All of that and much, much more coming up in this awesome conversation. But first, I want to tell you about Man Therapy. And guys, I am talking to you directly because, look, it is okay to cry when we're not just watching a football or basketball game. We have to be emotional and be vulnerable because we got to take care of our mental health. Look, I know when I was a kid and I was playing sports, we were taught to just rub dirt on it, be a tough guy, don't be weak. But we have to help ourselves and be real with ourselves about mental health. And that's what Man Therapy is all about. Go to mantherapy.org to take their 18-point head inspection, where it can help you with reliable resources, tools, and just overall help your mental health. Because again, we have to be open as men and be vulnerable and take care of ourselves up here. So once again, go take that 18-point head inspection at mantherapy.org to help yourself today. But now it is time for the latest episode here on The Mental Game with Dexter Carr. Welcome back into the Mental Game. As you can tell, I got a very special guest with some of the best dance moves in the world. Dexter Carr, LA-based dancer and choreographer. Appreciate you coming on, brother.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
Yeah, we're going to get into your whole career in dance, and you've been on Broadway in music videos. Now you're one of the biggest choreographers out here in LA, and we just randomly connected, following each other on Instagram, which worked out for this this podcast. But the first thing I ask everyone on the Mental Game is, what does mental health mean to them? And everyone has a different answer, whether it's something that they've always taken care of, or maybe there is an event in their life that made them look at their mental health more. But I'll ask you the same thing. What does mental health mean to you?
I think it just means for me, mental health has so many, I think, layers, because I work with my physical, right? So like my physical health also plays into my mental health. How does my body feel emotionally? Am I able to create the way I want to create? Am I able to emote the way I want to emote? You know, sometimes when we're dancing or when I do what I do, I'm not thinking, like I'm just feeling. So that is, I think, a part of my biggest part of my mental health is probably physical and emotional more than even my mental, honestly, if that makes any sense. But
Well, and I hear this with different musicians that I interview, or athletes, or for you, a dancer, choreographer, what you do is like therapy in itself. Like how much are you just, does that help you when you're having a bad day or a good day, just getting out there and being able to be on the floor?
Yeah. I mean, I have literally said to so many people, like, I've been feeling like I've been sick. I've been like depressed. I've been going through life stuff. And I think for that, whatever minute, hour, 8 hours of dance, you don't feel anything. Like you really get taken out of that situation, which sometimes can be a little rough, right? Because once you come back, it's like, ah, we're still here. But I'm so happy that I have that, because there's a lot of people who don't have that escape, that outlet.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah. And for you, like, dance started at a young age, where you got some big success getting your first big gig dancing in the Kiss Kiss music video for Chris Brown. Yep. But where did that passion for dance start? Because it is a very creative and amazing talent to have and career to go after, but it's tough. It's tough to get your foot in the door and to get an opportunity like that very young. You had to have some passion and some talent early on. What led you to dance?
I think I was just always interested in the arts. Like, I would always drag my parents to go see shows and like our local theater and like dance movies. I was obsessed with You Got Served. Like, I would watch You Got Served probably 3 times a week. Like, I was just obsessed with everything that had to do with dance. I couldn't dance yet. Like, I had never taken any formal classes.
Oh, wow.
And I just knew that, like, I didn't know if it was going to be a career thing, but I knew I liked it and I wanted to try it. And I was a fearless kid, and I just was like, I'm going to embarrass myself and just jump in there with the rest of these professionals and audition for Chris Brown. So yeah, it was great.
And that just, like, so you're from Miami, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Walk me through that audition process, because like, I think all of us, you're at 16, you have a dream, you have a goal. You don't really know what that means yet as a career, but like right. you have an opportunity. It's like, F it, let's go. I mean, what was that audition process like?
So auditions, I think probably you may remember this, but they would like talk about auditions like on the radio. Like yeah. they would say like, audition for Chris Brown happening in Miami, Florida. And I remember being in the car from the way from school, and I was like geeked. I was like, there's no way Chris Brown's coming to yeah. Miami. What? So I dragged my best friend who is a professional. Like, she dances like for real.
Yeah.
And I was like, we have to go. Like, we just have to go. Like, yep. this is our opportunity. We have to go.
Chance.
And she was like, okay, fine. We get there, and it's like every dancer Miami has to offer. Like, the line is down like blocks. And I was like, we're going. We're just going to try it. We're going to yeah. do it. So we're in there. We learn the choreography, whatever. And then they keep people. They cut some people. They kept some people. I'm sitting in the like holding area, which is like where yeah. everybody sits or whatever. And Chris Brown's, I think... No, it was the production manager was like looking around, and she looked at me and she was like, come in here. And she put me in a room, and I walk in a room, and it's like Chris Brown, it's her, it's like his team. And I'm just like,
yeah.
First of all, I'm thinking they're going to cut me. They're going to be like, how the hell did you get here? We know you're a fraud. But no, they were like, actually, we know you auditioned for the video, but we need a body double for Chris as well. Because in that video, he has two different characters, like a yeah. football player and a nerd. And they were like, we need somebody to be his, you know, body double.
While and he's 18 being, at the time,
yeah, he's
right?
he's 18 yeah. at the time. So like, we're kind of the same age. And we had the same similar, like skinny body type. So he was just like, yeah, that works perfectly. And I was like, okay. So yeah. tight. So dope. I was like, do I need to stay? And they were like, no, you're good. And so I like told my friend outside, and she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I'm going to be Chris Brown's body double and dance in the video. And she was like, and I'm out here waiting for you this whole time, blah, blah, blah. So we just had like the craziest first audition experience ever of my life. And it was so, honestly, I'm so grateful for the way that happened, because there's so many audition horror stories too.
Yeah.
But I think that positive experience made me want to keep going.
Yeah.
So I didn't have one of those awful experiences when I first started out where like, you know, I was there all day and wasted my time. Like, it was actually a really positive experience that I loved, and I cherished that.
I feel like that gave you hope to like go pursue the career, which yes. so many people that I talk to in music, in Broadway, in dance, like you just have rejection, yeah. rejection, especially early on in your career where it can tear people down.
Totally.
And so to be able to have an opportunity like that, it had to give you that hope. And I'm assuming gave you the courage to move to New York when you were what, 17?
Yeah.
How wild was that?
More wild than my mom was cussing me out the whole time, but it was cool. I knew I needed to do it. I knew yeah. it was one of those things. Miami is just not, Chris Brown coming to Miami, it was like a miracle. Like, that never happens for us. So I was like, I know I need to be in the, you know, in the big tank with the big sharks. And I wasn't scared. So I said, 17, I'm going to finish high school, move to New York, go to college in New York. And I ended up dropping out of college because I ended up booking Bring It On. So
yeah.
my school was kind of like strict on like, you can't really work outside in the arts while you go to school, because it was a theater arts school.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, you got to either do this or that. So I chose that. But again, the best decision I think I ever made, because I got to have like a real life in the field experience
yep.
instead of learning about it in a classroom.
Right. And I feel like in creative work, like that's the key, like whether, like for me, getting the chance to like work. I remember the first time I was on the radio as a like intern, but like sports reporter, I was 13 or 14.
Wow.
And so like getting those experiences throughout your career, throughout your like young adult life,
yeah,
like help you so, so much. And you can learn a lot in school too. Still,
totally.
But being, for me, on the sidelines with people that are working one day for ESPN or
exactly.
ABC, like it's game changing for you. Your favorite movie growing up, getting to like watching that 3 times a week,
yeah,
and then getting to be on Broadway and Bring It On,
yeah.
like that had to be a crazy full circle moment.
Yeah, which was also another one of my favorite movies. Bring It On was one of my favorite movies. Yeah, so that was crazy. And like working with Lin-Manuel Miranda and like Andy Blankenbuehr, like basically like the all-stars of Broadway. So
yeah.
I was just in the room like a sponge. I was trying to soak up everything. I was like listening to conversations that I probably shouldn't have been listening to, but I just wanted to learn. I just was so excited and so curious by everything.
Yeah, and so you get to do that, be on Bring It On. And how old were you when you got that?
So I was 19, so probably 2 years after I moved. Yeah,
two years,
19.
And yeah. I mean, you talk about being 19 and having, I know you had other gigs in between and things you were doing, like, just how much did that help, that hope and that drive when you do get from 16 to 19, two pretty like big roles for someone that just figured out that they wanted this to be their career, right? You know, when they're 16 years old.
Right. It was, I mean, you can ask for better.
Yeah.
But I do think at the same time, life set in quickly. Like, mm-hmm. you know, what you're doing financially with your money, like I had never been given this amount of money at one time, especially at that age. Like, yeah. And we all know what you're doing at 19. Like, yeah. You're not being smart. So that I'm away from my family. I have no one really that I don't know any of these people. These are all new people to me.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of trying to create friendships, but at the same time it's work. So you can't really get too close to some people or you can't, it's just all a whole thing. It's a game.
Yeah.
So it was, everything started setting in that moment, honestly.
Did you go through times of like loneliness and depression when you were in New York? And then obviously you moved to LA a few years later, but it, you know, you're moving by yourself at 17 or you're moving in your 20s to LA yeah. by yourself. Both those cities are huge cities, a bunch of dreamers that right. want to accomplish those goals. Did you struggle with depression and loneliness?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like, I say this all the time, I felt lonely and I was around so many people. Like I was literally surrounded by a cast every single day. We saw each other every day, whether you wanted to or not. And I felt lonely. I felt like, because in the sense I didn't feel like I had anybody who understood what I was going through, because these are all Broadway people. Or we had like 10 like nationally like acclaimed cheerleaders like that were like the best in the country. So they're all a clique. These Broadway people all have something. And I honestly felt like I was the only one like that was an outsider in the mm-hmm. show. So that was tough for me. And I just felt like, I think that caused me to do a lot. Like, you know, you start the drinking, you start the partying, you start mm-hmm. trying to cope with the situation by doing stuff. You know what I mean? It's all that.
Yeah.
So it, from 19 to 21, 22 was the roughest for me because I just didn't know what was next.
Yeah.
And everything, none of it had a plan. Like I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go audition for Broadway. And then it happened. Like I just did all these things that I just am doing.
Yeah.
So there was no actual plan in my life. And I felt like I was just kind of living on the edge, but not in a good way, if that makes
right.
sense. Yeah.
No. Well, so were you like, did you struggle with, I mean, you get the role on Bring It On
mm-hmm.
and it's a dream experience, but like you said, you're 19, 20 years mm-hmm. old, you're in a different city. There's cliques.
Yeah.
It's not, you're away from your family and your friends that you've had for your whole life.
Yeah.
You mentioned like the partying and drinking. For me, that was a big thing.
Yeah.
Like I am just now, I'll hit 8 months sober later this week.
Congrats, man.
Thanks, bro. Like it's just, it took me until 30 years old to realize that I have to cut it out.
Yeah.
Were there like, did that affect your mental health? Like just going out and partying? Like why were you, I mean, we're young, like college experience,
yeah, yeah.
And young professional experience. I don't know if this is the right advice to say, but like you're supposed to go out, experience life,
yeah.
have fun. Like, and some people can handle it. Some people can't.
Right.
Was it, did it affect your, like your professional life or your mental health? How was drinking like involved in your life?
Yeah. I mean, it was to the point I think where it was just like, it was just getting destructive in the sense I was calling out of work. I was like not performing to my best ability. I would get notes from the stage manager saying like, we know you're phoning it in is what we say. Like you're not giving it your all. Like I was becoming lazy, lethargic. I was fighting with cast members. Like it got to a point where, cause I was just lashing out and I'm an only child. I don't have brothers and sisters. So I've always kind of felt like this whole, like my life is just on me. Like I just felt like a heaviness on my shoulders because like, I don't have a brother that I can call and ask for advice. Or like, I don't have a sister that I can like, that can calm me down when I'm being like emotionally like irrational or whatever. So like, I was just lashing out at other people who were really just trying to ask me if I was okay. And that was even irritating me too. Like, what do you mean? Am I okay? Of course I'm okay. I'm fine. Like, and that was like when I had to sit down and realize, okay, you're not okay. There's things that you need to talk about with people. There's things that you need to go through. There's things that you need to feel that you don't even want to feel. So that was like a big realization for me kind of at the end of that tour, 21. I turned 21 and people didn't even know that I wasn't 21 the whole time because I drank so much. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, you like realizing that at 22 years old, mm-hmm. like that is a huge thing because there's people that live their whole life and don't like take that next step. So you get that success in New York. Mm-hmm. Why was LA like the, was it because of the hip hop scene out here? Is that why you wanted to move out here so bad?
You know what it was? Honestly, I went through a really bad breakup too. And I thought I was going to, you know, I thought we were going to be together forever. Like we were in the show together. We were like really, really close. Like I finally felt like I had somebody in New York that was like my person.
Right.
And then things just didn't work out. And I think I was like, I have to get out of the city. Cause New York is so like this, like it's like everything is like loud and like the apartment's small and like you just feel everything. And I was like, I need to space. I need LA. I need sunshine. I need like grass. I need something different. And it was kind of similar to home. Like LA is pretty much kind of like Miami, like a green city, outdoor activities. Like I needed that back in my life.
If I can ask you this, and I didn't preface it before we started rolling, but like a lot of people that watch the show or listen to it know, like, I went through a really toxic breakup, and that's what like had that alone feeling of me like really struggling with what I was doing. And we also worked together, and like it was just, it was tough. Like, how much did that put a strain on your mental health? With like, did you feel like you just were alone in this city, and like it was just like giving up hope, like almost with, because you're, I'm assuming based off what you just said, you're somebody that wants that forever person and was striving for it and then finally had it.
Yeah.
And then it's wiped away.
Yeah.
It's like, it punches you right in the mouth, doesn't it?
Yeah. And we were so close, like for the whole tour, we were close for the Broadway run, like lived down the street from each other. Like I really kind of catered my life around this person. So like you said, when it ended, it was like everything was ripped up. It felt like a whole tree was ripped out of the ground. So I never felt heartbreak like that either. That was definitely like, I think my first like, whoo, this is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it all came crashing down for me and I had to get out. I had to get out of the city.
So how old were you when you moved out to LA?
23. So I stayed in New York for about 8 more months and then I moved out at the beginning or right after my birthday. So yeah, September.
Okay. So you get out to LA. Mm-hmm. What you're doing now is incredible. Like I said, you're one of the biggest dancers and choreographers really in the world, and thanks, getting to do it here in LA at Playground. Like that's the spot to be.
Yeah.
That's what you see whenever you're watching anything on TV or TikTok or Instagram. Like that's the place.
I did see us on TV the other day too. I was watching something and I'm like, why are we on TV? Like, what are we doing?
Because that's the spot. I mean, any big dancer or someone that wants to get into this, or the celebrities that are in town that are going on tour and need dancers, like that's the place to go. When you moved out here, was the goal to get back into, I know you're doing like the hip hop Broadway scene, but to really get into music, was that the goal?
It honestly wasn't. Again, my life is very like as it goes. I didn't even teach. Like when I first moved out here, I didn't teach. I didn't really, I was just trying to be a professional dancer. So I was doing all the things. I was dancing with like the J-Lo's and the Katy Perry's and the Demi Lovato's. So like I was just doing what you're supposed to do as a dancer. And I think one day, like I was just like a studio Millennium, the other one that everyone knows, like the one with the red wall.
Yeah,
they asked me to sub a class and I was like, sure, why not? I need money. Like, why not? And it actually turned out dope. Like my friends came and supported and all that stuff. So I was like, it's gonna be cool. So they kept asking, Then I finally got a regular slot, like a weekly slot. And I think that's kind of when like my brain shifted from being, let me be behind an artist to like, let me try to be an artist myself.
Yeah. And that's like, let's go to your career though. When you get out here and you get to do, I mean, you just name some names that like, it's not like it's an up and comer. Like these are A-list in music. Yeah. I know you've been able to dance with everyone from Kelly Rowland to Beyonce. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, mentioned, was it Demi Lovato?
Yeah.
And it just, the list goes on and on. You get Chris Brown when you're 16, get to be in his video. You don't get starstruck, but like, do you ever look at yourself, and I'm sorry for cussing if that's not your job, but like, are you ever like, God, this is fucking cool. Like, kind of just look around, like, this is dope.
Yes, all the time. Like, and it's honestly in the moments that you don't expect it. Like, it's not in the moments like where I'm on stage and like there's people screaming and stuff like that. It's more so like when I'm in rehearsal and like we're about to like do a fitting and I'm like, this is so tight that I get to do this for work. Like, that's one of the moments. I appreciate those little moments because I feel like that's what you remember the most.
Yeah.
Those moments when you're on stage in the video, everything goes so fast. Like everything is just like a blip, but it's the moments like the grind and the prep and like the rehearsal and like the moments where like people are crying together. People are laughing together. People are like, you know, we're exhausted. Like our bodies are physically done, but like it's those moments that you're like, damn, this is dope.
Yeah. Is there, was there a moment when you could you make the switch to choreographer? You still dance, but like to be a choreographer and to teach and to have classes. Why does that hit? Like, it feels like, you know, it hits your heart like a lot. Like it's something that you got a chance to do.
Yeah.
And then you just dove right in. Why do you love choreographing so much?
Yeah. I think what's so cool about dance, and I've always said this, is that you can do whatever you want. Like you, it's the one thing in the world I feel like, even because singing, we all know what sounds good and what doesn't sound good. So like, that's like a real thing. Like yeah. music is, we all know, but with dance, it's so weird because I've seen people like be not necessarily great dancers in the technical sense, yeah. but like you love to watch them. Like you love to see what they're doing. You love to just see how their vibe is, like why they move the way they move, why they choreograph the way they choreograph. So that's what I love about dance. You can be whoever you want to be, say whatever you want to say, and yep. move however you want to move.
And it's like it's you. Yeah. Like it's a special, special art where like you can do whatever you want, yeah. like you said, and make it your own. Is there, how would you describe your style?
It changes a lot. It just depends on my mood and my aesthetic and like what yeah. I'm feeling that day. Like I said, I'm an only child, so I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of watching, okay. people watching, like staring out a window. Like literally, like I just was so fascinated by like the world around me. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my style is influenced by so many different cultures, people, things, food,
yeah.
styles, countries, like all that.
Yeah, it's like you go through, and if you're watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast platforms, go search Dexter Carr and just scroll through TikTok, scroll through Instagram, because I think from video, you can see like consistencies just with some of your movements, but it is unique with each song. Like yeah, it's so cool to watch like that. Do you have like favorite like people you've choreographed for or different tours you've yeah. been on? Like what are some of your favorite memories with that?
I loved choreographing for Lil Baby. Yeah. We did Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, did the Jimmy Kimmel show. It's when the song Whoa just came out. Everybody was obsessed with the song.
Yep.
And I got like some of my favorite dancers. Like I got to hire like some of my people that I'm obsessed with. So that was just like the coolest experience ever. Yeah. We all were in New York, like and having a time. Like, so it was dope. That was a great experience. And then I choreographed the Iggy Azalea tour. That was my first tour. And that I think to me was so cool because again, the dancers on it are like legendary dancers that are like, have yeah. danced with everybody in the world. So me being the newbie and like them being like who they are, they were yeah. so kind to me and they were so helpful and like really just like wanted me to succeed. So that was a really dope experience too.
You had like so much success all like throughout your life from 16 to now yeah. and then getting to choreograph and dance, like you said, go on tours. We mentioned the alone feeling a little bit earlier when you were in New York. You said that probably that 19 to 22 year old spot was probably your roughest spot from feeling alone to the breakup. But when you move to LA and yeah. like you start getting opportunities, but like the stakes start getting higher, mm-hmm. like is there more pressure internally on you? And did you feel alone out here too when you first got here?
You know what it is? I wouldn't say I felt alone, but I never felt, and I use this word, I'll explain why I use this word. I never felt safe. I never felt comfortable.
Okay.
There was always people, for some reason, like you just said, I had success at a young age, which also is a target for some people. Not everybody is happy about that. So yeah. I had a lot of people in the industry who were like, I don't get it. I don't see it. It's not that great. I've seen better.
Yeah.
So I never felt comfortable. I never was able to really like relish in that success, I feel like, because it's so cutthroat out here in the industry and it's so competitive. And let's be real, there's a lot of haters. Like there's a lot of haters. And as much as we all like to say, oh yeah, 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 forget the haters, da da da, it affects you. As right. an artist, for sure, it definitely yeah. affects you because yeah, you do want people to like your work. You do want people to enjoy what you're, it's a gift. It's a God-given gift. So you want people to enjoy it. And when they don't, it does hurt. So it's like, I just never necessarily felt like really in my shit, if that makes sense. That was more what I felt instead of alone.
I get that. And there's people that like will hate on you for doing well mm-hmm. or don't like your style. Mm-hmm. How did you handle that? Did you ever go to therapy or who did you talk to kind of get through those moments where people were talking shit or you didn't feel your best?
I'm gonna be honest. I did not go to therapy. I internalized a lot because mm-hmm. I'm an only child. So that's what I do. That's what yeah. only children do. We have ourselves. So we just talk to ourselves. But I did. I internalized a lot. I thought about, I would try to figure out why they said it or why they're being that way or try to figure out how to fix it or try to figure out how to make somebody like you or try to figure out maybe I need to change my style if they don't like, you know what I mean? I went through a lot of that.
Yeah.
And after a certain point, I feel like I'll say honestly, not till I was like almost 32, like,
wow,
I stopped caring. I just stopped yeah. caring. Because at this point, we're all grown. You know what I mean? These yeah. people that I've grown up with in the industry, we're all grown now. Like
yep.
they're doing their thing. I'm doing my thing. And you know, there's space for all of us. And if you don't like what I do, that's really okay because there's someone who will. Right. And then what really I realized is I like it. And that's yeah. what I had to really come to terms with. I have to like what I do. I have to love my art because if I don't, anything anybody says is going to tear me down.
Yeah.
Any little thing somebody gives me or any little critique or note. And I have no problem with critique or notes, but we all know what the difference between like hating and like constructive criticism. So yeah.
Dexter and I have talked about that alone, depressed feeling that we've both struggled with in our life, chasing these dreams, whether it's sports reporting or dance. You know, everyone, if you're listening, guys out there, it's okay to talk about how we're feeling. We have to be vulnerable. We have to talk about our emotions to help each other get through those tough moments with our mental health. And that's why I want to tell you about Man Therapy. Look, guys, you've heard Dexter and I both talk about it. We were taught to just rub dirt on it and be tough guys and not show that we're weak and emotional, whether it was playing sports or chasing our dreams as kids. But guess what? The world has changed with mental health, and that's why you have to go to mantherapy.org and take their 18-point head inspection, because you're going to answer just some basic questions in about 2 minutes, and it'll tell you everything you need to know about taking those next steps with your mental health, where to reach out for help, some big resources and helpful tips to help you with your mental game. That's what we talk about here on The Mental Game, how to better yourself. And guys, I know it can be scary to open up at first, but Man Therapy makes it easy for you to take those first and sometimes maybe those needed steps to take better care of your mental health. Just go to mantherapy.org and take that 2-minute test. It's the 18-point head inspection to help you take care of your mental health.
Well, like the self-care and the self-love, like those two things, personally and professionally are like huge. Once you realize that like you don't give a fuck what somebody says about you,
literally,
like that changes the game mentally for you. How much have you seen that like kind of help you day to day overall, just happiness, joy, and love for yourself and what you're doing? My God.
I wouldn't have had any of the opportunities I've had in the past 3 years, because like I wouldn't be a Nike athlete if not for that.
Yeah.
Because there are so many dancers in the world, and I heard it even when I got the contract. You know, why him? Why him? It could have been this person. It could have been that person. Yeah, but whatever the brand saw in me is what they saw in me. And I'm so grateful that they did see something, because I genuinely think it's my ability to let go, ability to be free, ability to be able to be malleable as an artist, be able to move around in different spaces, talk to different people, be able to communicate myself through my art and through my words. So it just, it's all a package when it comes to what we do as far as like being in the industry. And I think some people miss the part of, you have to have the whole package.
Yeah.
It can't just be one thing. And you got to be nice. You got to be like a nice person. Like it sucks when you meet your favorite person, like your favorite whatever, and they're not nice. Like that just kills you.
Well, and that's for like, I've met, you know, a ton of athletes and artists, and like, it feels like to me at least, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like 99% of the people in the business like are good people that want to help the next person. But you do remember, and we're not going to say names, but you do remember when you like meet that one person and you're like, damn, they like, they suck.
Yeah, you suck. You suck really bad. And it sucks because it's like, you're whoever they are, you're probably successful. You're probably very rich. You probably have a lot of people who are at your beck and call, but you're just not happy.
Yeah. And there's like having that, like your own happiness on the inside. Like, were there moments throughout your career where you're, I mean, you mentioned being on Broadway at a young age and having like some fights with people that were, you know, on the cast with you and different moments throughout your life, like trying to figure out the goals or where you fit in the industry. Like how much did you ever use dance to mask like the sadness or depression that you were going through?
Yeah. It was an easy way to disassociate. Mm-hmm. I can just dance and, look at my talent and don't look at how like miserable I am right now, or don't look at how unhappy I really am. Like, and there's people who know me really well and they knew in that time that I was not happy, and they knew that I was going through stuff. And they would try to help, and I wasn't allowing it. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to open up. I didn't want to emote. I'd rather just like go work. I'm a workaholic too. So it's very easy for me to like bury myself in work and forget everything else.
Well, I want to ask you this, and it's kind of like just spot on with obviously you being on the podcast, but why did you want to start like opening up? And I mean, like coming on here to talk about mental health, it's a very vulnerable thing. Why have you recently wanted to open up more about mental health?
I think it's for me, like, I work with so many younger dancers, and I like see so many people coming in from all over the world that come to take class, or like I work with them, and like I can't imagine trying to grow up in a time right now. Like being, if I was 19 right now, I don't even know if I would even, I don't know what I would be doing because there's just so much happening and like,
yeah.
There's just so much turmoil in the world and there's so many like negative things all on your feed all day, yep. all day, all day. And it's just like, I think it's so important that we all stay locked in and we stay checked in on each other.
Sure.
And I've had friends, you know, commit suicide and I've had friends think about suicide. Like, it's just, it's so important and it's so necessary. And it's something we just don't talk about enough, honestly.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy. Cause you and I are like about, I think we're about the same age.
Yeah.
Just growing up in the era of like, I graduated high school in 2011, college in 2015,
yep.
never heard one word ever about mental health. And I've talked with, you know, different athletes and musicians, whether it be Nate Burleson or Ryan Shazier or Ricky Williams, like even in the Black community, you don't talk about mental health, especially as men.
No.
How have you seen just mental health growing up in the dance community, in the Black community, and around your friends and family, like change over these last few years? Because it feels like people are talking way, way, way more about mental health.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's incredible to see. I always laugh. My mom is like the biggest. She was very like a Black mother, like don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, like don't cry, like she was very that growing up. But I will say, I think I appreciate that part because that was the shell that I needed to be in the industry.
Yeah.
But now she's like the biggest softie. Like she's always asking me about like how I am and like if I sound weird on the phone. She's like, are you okay? Like do I need to come out there? Like it's just so cute. But yeah, man, it's so nice to have open conversations about it. And like, it doesn't always have to be negative. It doesn't always have to be like, I'm not okay. You know, I like the conversations too that talk about why I am okay. Like I am happy where I am because of this reason and everything. That doesn't mean everything in your life is perfect. It just means like, I'm content where I am right now. I'm happy with what I'm doing. I love the people that I have around me and am I striving for more? Yes, but I'm still happy.
Yeah. You know? Well, it seems like, and I just met you. Like I said, we followed each other a couple months ago, I think off of Nate Burleson's episode. And you just have this like genuine like glow and happiness about you right now in this present moment. On like social media, you have just blown up throughout Instagram and TikTok.
Thanks, man.
How cool has it been for you to just see like the growth? And I think it happened during the shutdown in 2020 because there was so much dance going on social media.
Yeah.
What was that like just kind of watching you grow? I mean, like you don't need the proof of numbers and likes.
No.
But it does help business. And it's also very cool.
It's a business tool. Yeah, it's a business tool. And I honestly, like what I like about, I'm one of the people, and I'll say this on camera, I don't hate social media. I actually really like social media. This is why there's not many ways that you can share whatever you want to whoever you want instantly. I think that is so tight. Whether it's a dance video, whether it's me talking about my mental health, whether it's a picture of my dog, like I just love that you can connect with so many people like instantly. And I do think that, like you said, it's a business tool and it works really well if you allow it to work with you. It doesn't need to be this contrived thing. And I think that's where a lot of people, and I'll use my industry, I think a lot of people feel like, oh, if I don't have followers, I'm not going to get work. I'm not going to get booked. I don't even think that's the case. I think if you're authentically who you are and you show your best self on your social medias, people really do gravitate to that. And we've seen that over the years. Like the most random basic people have a bunch of followers. Why? Because they're dope and they're genuine and they're cool to watch.
Yeah. I was like I said, I don't know where my phone's at, but I was going through like your videos before you showed up today. And it's like, it's just cool to see how genuine you are, how much fun you're having. And like you mentioned, how you went through some shitty years and some tough times, feeling alone, rejection, different things. But now it feels like, I mean, it feels like you're doing good.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're doing good.
You got a million-dollar smile, so I love that.
Thank you, man.
Before I ask the final question that I always ask on here, anything else you want to kind of talk about? Like, I'll ask you this. Some goals coming up. I mean, you've achieved a lot already, but what do you got on the map?
I think I would love to choreograph a Broadway show. So I was, you know, in a couple, and I would love to, like, choreograph one and just like put my vision on a live stage. There's nothing to me like a live theater show. Like it's like, it's just the rush is different than anything I've ever done. And I would love to be able to put my work on a stage. So yeah.
Okay. That would be really cool. I grew up a theater kid playing sports too, but I told you before we started rolling, I think it was sixth grade to freshman year of high school, I did some competitive hip hop. So definitely not on your level, but when I get back to LA, because I'm all booked up this trip, I'm gonna have to come out.
You
and take
gotta
class.
Come to class. Oh my god, yeah,
dude, that would be lit. I can moonwalk. I can do a couple. Like I grew up like watching Usher.
Oh, and,
like,
just you're the way, good. Like, you're set.
I know. I just need I need a lot of help. So I'll trust you on that. advice to someone that kind of wants to follow your footsteps. There's a kid maybe in Miami, a kid in LA, mm-hmm. a kid in New York that has that goal of getting into dance or being on Broadway. Like, what would you tell someone that was you, you know, back then?
There's going to be moments that you want to give up. There's going to be moments that you hate everything you're doing. There's going to be moments that people are telling you that you cannot do something. There's going to be every single odd against you at every given moment, and you have to push past it. You have to. Because whether it works out for you or not, you need to be able to push. And I wish I would have told myself a long time ago, because there's so many times that I wanted to quit. There's so many times that I was, even like sports back in the day, like I quit a lot of sports just because I wasn't good at it.
Yeah.
But I had that attitude of just, I don't need to. But I think there is something so valuable in having that quality of perseverance through everything in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you go through like ups and downs mm-hmm. of just, like for me, I never would have thought this is where I would be at.
Yeah, of course.
Like, and then we're sitting here in LA, and I told you, we're not going to say names because they're all surprises each week, but like you got three people walk in and out today, tomorrow, the next day.
Yeah.
It's like, it's crazy shooting 8 interviews in 3 days, but it's hard work. But like when you see the finished result, like when our episode comes out, it's going to be so dope to see how your fans, our fans, like react to you talking about mental health, your dance journey. It's like, it all pays off. And so if there are people listening that want to get in the creative field, I think you would agree with me, just go fucking do it.
Yeah.
Like, just do it. You have opportunities. You got to make them for yourself.
Totally. And now in 2023, there's endless opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people online. So what is, okay, I don't even know what you would call this, but the NPC people that just make those noises. Have you seen that on TikTok?
I have not.
You know what I'm talking about, right? They So people send them gifts and they just go, thank you for the banana. Thank you. And that's what they do on TikTok all day. So there's opportunities for everybody out here, basically, is what I'm saying.
All right, yeah. If they can do it, or a short white guy with a receding hairline and was a sports reporter can make a podcast, like anybody can do shit. Yes. Dexter, appreciate it, brother.
Thank you
so much
me,
for
man.
Coming on. We'll see everybody right back here next week on The Mental Game. And I can't thank Dexter enough for coming on The Mental Game and really opening up about his own journey with mental health, dance, and just his life story, which is super inspiring. Going to chase that dream at just 17 years old, all alone in New York City. Now, as we talked about, he's out in Los Angeles working as one of the biggest choreographers in the dance world. So I can't thank him enough. And if you're on TikTok and Instagram, go check out his videos. His dancing is some of the best stuff you will see on the internet and on social media. Once again, a big thanks to Dexter for coming on the show. Next week, it is a special guest. It's just me. We are talking about what it's been like the past 2 years. You know, that's the last time I thought about suicide. 2 years ago, I checked into a mental health hospital in Cincinnati, and it changed and saved my life. So I want to take all of you through that journey. We'll talk about it and much, much more next week, right back here on The Mental Game.